Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 1167 for March the 15th, 2022. We are live from the Bob Varley studio. And if you've wanted Walt Disney World news, baby, we've got it. So just settle in with a favorite beverage, strap in, and we'll get started. My name is Denny Sunderley, and I'm filling in for host Pete Werner. We're so glad that you're tuning in. I am joined here in the studio by my dear friends, John Sicari of BigFatPanda.com.
Hello, dear Denny.
Hello, dear Panda. Associate producer Rhino Clavin.
Hello. I didn't get quite as a beautiful intro with some people here, but that's
no!
fine.
No, okay. That's Rhino fine. Clavin of Walt Disney, of WDWinfo.com.
Hello.
Effervescently humorous.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. The wonderful. And of course, executive producer Craig Williams from The Nook.
Oh, hoy, hoy.
Yay. We are so glad again that you've tuned in. Whether you are listening or watching, we are so glad to be able to spend the next hour or so with you talking through literally everything that has happened, because the mother load has been backed up and just dumped all over the place. We're here for Walt Disney World. But before I go too much further, just to remind you that we are brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the expert agents at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan your next Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com and request your free no obligation quote today. I have some housekeeping. Are you all right if I jump into just a few housekeeping things?
Just a bit.
All right. Just a bit. All right. Here we go.
4 minutes or less.
Okay. So,
You're 14 minutes or less.
Go. All right. So we're going on a cruise. Disney Dream, May 16th through the 20th. And if you want to go, we'd love to have you. If you want to receive a no obligation quote, go to the green button that's at the top of the homepage on WDWinfo.com. That's the Diz. Click that button and follow the instructions from there. All the details that we know thus far are on that page. Now, bear in mind that a lot of the schedule is not, it's just not, and it's not out there quite yet, still being worked on. So hang in there for that. Number two, DizCon is coming. It is coming this fall, September 30th and October 1st at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort. Stephen Amos and his team at Give Kids the World are doing some amazing work on the schedule. The vendor hall, which I loved last year at the Diz Family Reunion. It was so much fun to get to see the creativity of people, just the artwork, the everything that they pour into their craft. The vendor hall is going to be twice as big this year as it was last year. There are tickets that are hopefully going to be made available here soon. Pricing is really, it's not too shabby for the event at all. And of course, the big coup de grace is that there is an after-hours party in Epcot.
I already forgot. What the dates?
It's September 30th through October 1st.
Okay.
I've only got 4 minutes right now.
Okay. No,
but that's pretty much it. We're going to put all the information out that we can. I'm going to post it on the message boards, on Diz boards for Diz Unplugged. So definitely check it out. That Epcot after-hours party is going to be in the UK, in Morocco, and in the France Pavilion. We'll get to ride Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. We'll have special desserts and special entertainment, and the ticket cost for the party is $199. $80 of that is a direct donation to Give Kids the World Village. And remember, with everything with DizCon, the profits, the proceeds go to the Village, who is the number one wish granting organization here in the Central Florida area. So if a wish kid says that they would like to go to Walt Disney World, Give Kids the World is where 9 times out of 10 they will stay for that magical week. So we want to do all we can for them. And believe you me, the second that tickets become available, you will know about it because we are going to shout it from the rooftops. That's it. I know it was a little bit more than 4 minutes. I apologize.
I don't know. I think it was good. Thanks,
Panda. Thanks. I appreciate that. Thank you. We'll just be the Mutual Admiration Society
just for each other,
the studio. This is our support group. Anything else from anyone else? Nope. Okay. We are going to move on. So getting started with the Walt Disney World news. Big news broke late this morning, that the Spirit of Aloha Luau at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort has indeed permanently closed. And remember that with all these news stories, you can find all of the details on wdwinfo.com. And Jackie's got all the amazing details up, and Craig is showing us some of his video. So this dinner show is a part, literally a part of Walt Disney World history. The quote from the Disney release is, "Since the resort opened in 1971, the rich entertainment the show has represented over the years with its beautiful sights, incredible sounds, and delicious tastes of Polynesia," or includes the beautiful sights, sounds, and tastes. "While we can't share all the details about the expansion yet, we will honor the show as part of the new edition." Because here's the other part. The other shoe that dropped this morning is not only is the luau closed, it will give way, that land will give way to a new Disney Vacation Club tower of sorts. Rhino, I know that the listeners can't see it on the screen.
I'm not doing it anymore.
I understand that you're not, but if Rhino were, he would...
I'm calling the audible. I think he needs to describe
it. Okay, please. Please, Rhino.
You can blame me for it later,
you
people.
You want me to describe... It looks like there seems to be an apartment complex on here that has become overgrown. The people are outside. If there must be some sort of evacuation. They're... Just off screen, there is some water. They all seem to be staring at it. What I can only imagine would be some sort of Godzilla-like creature coming towards
the tower. Coming out of the
water? Yes. Okay. I'm not actually sure what the relevance of this photo to the discussion, to be 100%
okay.
honest.
Okay. What you are currently looking at, Rhino, is the proposed rendering of the new Disney Vacation Club villa building. That's where the luau is currently, and that's where the new DVC properties will go in. So I counted, and I think with the rooftop bar lounge dining, it's 10 stories in that main center part of the building. So it's a main part of the building, and then it's got a couple of wings that jut out.
Yeah, looks like a folding, one of those trifolds that you would have
for presentation. Fair.
Yeah. This looks nothing like the Polynesian.
That, I agree. It looks, and it's slated to open in 2024. It looks nothing like the longhouses.
2024.
Yeah, 2024. Nothing like the longhouses that we are accustomed to. And so in my mind, while it's not DVC, I kind of went to Coronado Springs, you know, when the news broke this morning.
Oh, I was thinking the Swan Reserve.
Okay.
It has that
okay.
A little bit
of,
but I see what you're. I definitely see what you're saying. Yeah.
And it looks, you know, Coronado Gran Destino looks nothing like the ranchos, the casitas, the established buildings that were at Coronado Springs. And at first, it was like, oh my word. Well, you know, it made sense. Okay,
so
you are busting a gap.
I am because part of it was saying that they used original Polynesian concept art. Right. To inspire it. So I don't have a photo pulled up and I can't really add it right now. I probably should have. But if you just Google like original Polynesian concept and Disney World in Google, then you will see the artwork that they're talking about that I'm kind of showing on my phone, which is a triangular shaped building where if you look at the concept art, basically the concept art of the new DVC kind of matches the original concept art with kind of that peak of having like a big overlook right on top. And that one also kind of looks like apartment complex-y too, but just in the shape of a pyramid as well. So I do understand where they are drawing the inspiration from with this, but then you also have to factor in the other sides of this is that the concept art that Disney releases never ends up looking like what it actually looks like in person, for the most part. And B, it's just because that was original doesn't necessarily mean it fits with what's there now. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's adding more rooms to the overall property, and you're losing a dinner show in its place. I have thoughts, but I'm done talking for now.
What do you think, Panda?
Now, they're saying Spirit of Aloha is over. They're not saying we're not getting another type of a show.
True.
Somewhere.
Right.
I have had word that Hoop-Dee-Doo will be returning. I don't know if that's
because
public knowledge. Oh, is that in the notes?
No, that was the other thing on my mind this morning was it's coming back, right? Like,
No, I did hear that I spoke to somebody who I trust what they had to say about it, who was an employee of the company, and they just kind of hinted that yes, and that there will be changes to the show. Because obviously it's part, I believe the consensus is that it is a part of the 50-year history that should be like celebrated and whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I don't know. I just wanted to say that. Now, that's all I'll be contributing.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to speak on behalf of the Spirit of Aloha dinner show.
Good.
You know what? I thought the food there was not that bad. I think Ohana had a better overall meal service than Spirit of Aloha did. And, you know, Ohana can be very hit or miss in terms of whether or not it's good or great. So that... I never was really blown away with the food at Spirit of Aloha, which I did it once, maybe twice. I'm trying to find proof that I did it a second time. I know I did it at least once, like back before I worked with the Diz. Okay. And on top of that, though, this is a step in the right direction, I think, because the show, to me, had already worn out its welcome, and that was on my first time seeing it, because I had seen Hoop-Dee-Doo and was like, oh my gosh, that's a really good show. I didn't see that growing up. Like, we did it maybe in like 2008 or 2009, and then was like, okay, well, let's give the Luau a chance as well too. And it was like, wow, well, it's same idea as Hoop-Dee-Doo, but very different end results with it. You know, obviously the Polynesian dancers, the fire performers, those were out of this world. I mean, it's what you wanted, but it was all the story that they came up with. Like, I think I can't even remember it all. Like, going off to school.
It was a going away party.
And it
watched a video.
Yeah. Everything that led up to like the finale with all of the dancing that you wanted and such was just, it was, you know, it was cheesy Disney, which there is a place for it, but I didn't see a lot of repeat value in that show, whereas Hoop-Dee-Doo, I always felt like there was at least a little bit of value in it. So while I think that Polynesian still needs some sort of offering like this, and maybe that is a part of the new DVC dining that's going to be there, I think this show as it was, it had already worn out its welcome in the long run.
Panda,
weren't there two versions of Spirit of Aloha at one point where one was more character and one was more adult?
My understanding is it's transformed over the years.
Okay.
But that, yes, we're saying goodbye to Leilani, you know, our friend who is going to the mainland now for college. That's the most recent iteration of the show.
That sounds boring.
You went, though.
I went when it was older, when it was just the performers.
Okay.
And just the fire people and the dancers. And it was pretty cool. It felt like, you know, you went to Adventureland and saw something. I will miss it. But maybe they'll edit something.
For me, it is the element that we're losing live entertainment.
I agree. 100%.
So that's the pill that's hard to swallow. And we're seeing land monetized even more so than it, like, which is going to be, and I know.
They're going to make it too crowded.
So it's a little bittersweet to me. Yep. While I had not been yet to the Luau, and now will not get to go to the Luau. I had time. I didn't get over there to do that. But it's sad.
They will have to mitigate the monorail being too crowded at key moments.
No, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
That many people to it.
Well, that's partly why the walkway is like they finished that walkway knowing this was coming.
It's a long walk from the Poly to the Magic Kingdom. I mean, it might be a long walk from that building to the monorail as it is.
That's true.
Hey, I always walk to the Magic Kingdom as long as I'm not on a time crunch. It is
you have
a great
8-foot long legs.
It's just a great way to get those extra steps in. And I know, you know, not everyone needs that on vacation. The people who walk 16 miles a day, but I don't always do that when we're there just for work. It's a lot of go to the place you need to go and then do what you need to do and then maybe leave. So I like that I have the option to walk all the way around there.
How far is it from the TTC to the Magic Kingdom?
I mean, it's so
Poly's not bad.
It gets complicated because you don't know where you're actually going to park at the TTC. Okay. And then if you're on the one side, it's easier to walk through TTC, go through security, and then cross through to the Polynesian. But if you park on the side closer to the Polynesian, it's faster to just walk across the walkway mm-hmm. where the cast members go in and out. So it's complicated, but okay. it's a mile and a half, mm-hmm. roughly. I'll just say that as a bare minimum.
If you parked in Zurg and you're leaving from the entrance, it's 2 miles.
Oh,
I did it on my watch. Yeah.
Okay.
No, we might get a new boat dock.
Well, that's true. I would hope they have a boat dock right there by the building.
They definitely need more than the little Willy Wonka boat.
Yes. That's the main thing that they would need. Yep. If you're going to add more rooms, you need to add more transportation options and quicker transportation on top of that as well, too. I mean, you're paying a premium at those hotels. Mm-hmm. You should not have to wait that long for boats or any sort of service. Mm-hmm. And like lately at, you know, with the crowds being busier at Magic Kingdom, if the express monorail is really backed up, mm-hmm. they start doing the thing now. They have the two lines going up to the express monorail. If you're in the left side, as the resort monorail comes around, if there's gaps, they'll start shoving people in to load from the other side. And so then if you're staying at the Poly or Grand Floridian, you know, you could have a full monorail show up to your stop mm-hmm. and just because, you know, they wanted to try to help out with the express. So it can be a mess. It can be a big mess, especially, you know, we're in spring break now, baby. It is. The crowds are jammed and it's only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
You've been jammed.
You have been jammed. Second news story, a new table service restaurant and coffee bar and updates are coming to Disney's Boardwalk Resort. So they're getting a bit of a makeover in the years to come. And it's been announced that the first changes will be made and we'll see the transformation of the Boardwalk Bakery into a sandwich shop. And then a new coffee bar is being added to the lobby of the Boardwalk Resort. Also, I know. Those big eyes, Panda. I know.
It doesn't say Starbucks, right? So it could be.
No, it's a coffee bar.
Okay.
Which I said in the article, like, if it's anything akin to Le Petit Cafe at the Riviera, I'm in. But it's not, like, it didn't say coffee shop. It says coffee bar.
Charge me $2 extra, make a little nice Disney picture on
That's
my coffee,
right.
and I'm in.
And you'll be happy,
I'm
right?
I'm happy.
That's right. And also coming to the Boardwalk will be a new table service restaurant. It's the Cake Bake Shop by Gwendolyn Rogers, which is an Indianapolis-based eatery. I believe she has two locations. And I've not read a bad word about it. Like, everything that I've heard about this restaurant is fantastic. People It's both. Panda.
All right.
Funny that you ask. It's actually both. It'll be a table service and also a bakery. So I'm glad that there'll be a bakery portion of it because the Boardwalk Bakery is so good at what they do. You can always find a different treat in there than you'll find in other locations.
It's not the run of the mill that you get from everywhere. It's actually baked there and it's unique. I agree.
Exactly. And that is slated to open in 2023. Now, I've not been over to the Boardwalk since this news broke late on Friday afternoon, so I've not confirmed it with my own ears, but I've heard rumblings on the internet that this indeed is going where ESPN has been for many moons.
Right.
Which, what do you think, Craig?
You know, I have never loved ESPN mm-hmm. there, and not that I didn't go there. I actually did go there quite a bit, especially when I first lived in Orlando. And you know what? If I was on property and you want to watch a game, it was a great spot to watch it. Now we have CityWorks at Disney Springs that does a lot of the heavy lifting with that. So at least there is a fallback for not having ESPN there anymore. But not doubling down on sports bars in Walt Disney World is something that I don't quite understand. There are a lot of people there that do still follow sports, even though they're on vacation. Mm-hmm. We know how many conventioners show up to Walt Disney World, and that's always something that is useful, especially when you have right there in that area. Boardwalk has small convention center, so not massive. But then does Yacht Club have space too? Yeah. So it's, you know, there's conventioners that are coming through that area that would like to have something like that, a cool spot to hang out at night, you know, besides Big River or anything like that. So while I'm not like crying over it and the loss of it, I still think it's something that they need to consider adding more in the future. Moving forward, someone's going to be very successful if they just make another cool sports bar that's owned and operated by Disney with, you know, with better food than ESPN had, and but just as many drink choices and such. TVs.
I mean, it obviously had gone downhill from its glory days, right? ESPN the weekend's no longer happening, and you know, none of the shows are being broadcast from the location anymore. So It was I don't want to say favorite of our family, but
it was a safe bet. You knew you could get American fare and everybody. Absolutely. There'd be something for everyone there.
Exactly. And something for everyone, including my youngest who is vegan. Like that was the best vegan burger on property, now, according to my kid. So
bakery place can do this. They can do that.
That's true. I agree with you, Craig. There needs to be a place on property that isn't City Works down in Disney Springs. Yeah. It's got to be something Disney owned and operated, because it's just so much fun to be an NFL fan on a Sunday in the parks during the fall. And everybody's wearing their jerseys or their shirts for their teams. And you can go, hey, you know, and connect with other people that you have perfect strangers because you have the same football team, that kind of thing.
That's the tough part, is that Boardwalk was such a great spot for this because you had that access right between Hollywood Studios and Epcot that made it very accessible for people, you know, staying not just at that resort loop, but also going to those parks that wanted to take a break and maybe catch their team on a Sunday or Saturday for college or just whatever, for whatever reason why they wanted to go there. And not that there's an issue with going out of the way to Disney Springs for City Works. Mm-hmm. It's still an option, but they need more of that. And that it was a prime location. I mean, gut Atlantic Dance Hall and put stuff there.
I was just going to say that, Craig.
The problem is,
completely agree with that.
They use it for so many weddings and things like that. It makes too much money in those other ways without really costing them anything besides electricity and basic maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would agree. Like, look at one of those other spots. But anyhow, we'll keep you up to date as we get additional information regarding Cake Bake Shop. We also, as part of that announcement, found out that the lobby, along with its coffee bar, is going to get a little bit more of a refresh, and also the rooms will as well. A little bit more of a seaside motif will be coming to the boardwalk rooms.
Very cool. As someone who does the Matterports for the Diz, I look forward to this.
You will get to see those rooms. It will be fun. So lots of things coming. The Cake Bake Shop is slated to open in 2023. Rhino, thoughts?
Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time over here. It's not like, but cool. I mean, I'd rather see something in empty space than nothing.
Think
at
of
all.
A bread bowl with a nice corn chowder in it. How's that? Ooh. Is that good?
Yeah, I'd be all right with that.
See?
Yeah. As long as it's not clam chowder.
No.
What about a hot dog? Yikes. Moving on. Do you need good sound on that? No? Yes? No,
using a hot dog. You can't get enough hot dogs on Disney property.
Love it. Beginning March.
Let me get that hot dog. I will say it to myself sometimes in the kitchen now.
And you'll
let me get that hot dog. It's because it's a video of that little boy. He's like, let me pet that dog. And that's what I keep thinking about now. Sorry.
Love it.
This episode brought to you by hot dogs.
You know, we got to take it where we can get it these days, right? Whatever makes you giggle and laugh, go with it. Go for it. So face masks beginning Wednesday, March 16th. So as you're listening or watching on this show, face masks will be optional in the Disney Skyliner.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. And on the transport between the Halcyon Galactic Star Cruiser and Batuu. So for those who are fully vaccinated, you no longer have to wear your mask.
So. I can't keep up.
I know.
Okay. So we went to Hawaii.
Yes.
You had to have the face mask on everywhere. I mean, they were like really strict. And then we went to Disneyland and you didn't have to have it on. And it felt so weird walking out of the room and being able to take it off. I didn't want to take it off, take it on, take it on. I'm still saying aloha to people in California. It's very confusing.
Oh my God. You poor thing.
So now in Disney World, it's optional. It's always been.
Yep. So Skyliner, it's now going to be optional. Beginning tomorrow, it'll be face mask.
Just on the Skyliner, not on the buses?
Exactly. Buses and monorails. Yeah. You still need to wear it.
Mm-hmm. I completely forgot when we were on the Star Cruiser because like you don't have it on the whole time, and then they're like, "Oh, do you have a mask?" And I'm like, I had one on the way there, but on the way back, I'm like getting in, and I'm like, "Oh God, I buried it in my bag," and I'm like, and they had ones to hand you, but yeah,
it was where on the Star Cruiser did you need it?
Just the shuttle transport to go out, which is weird because it's bigger than the shuttle that takes you up in. The elevator.
Yeah.
They're both supposed to be like technically transport. So that's the part where I was like, what? Like, it just threw me for a.
One would be under federal guidelines.
Yeah. That's just one of those things where I was just like, I forgot. Yeah. You know, like it was just, you get so into the moment that you forget.
Monorail, we still need it.
I just pack them in my bag. Pack them in whatever you get. They're the essentials nowadays, you know?
That's exactly right. Just.
Never hurts to have one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. On his Instagram account last week, Imagineer Zach Ridley let us in on a peek at the new Connections Eatery and Cafe marquee that has gone up across from Creations Shop. So we have a brand new sign. I got to see it with my own two eyes last week, and it's great. It's got the World Bold font, and it just says Connections Cafe. So you can definitely check that out by looking at the story. Just scroll down until you get to the story on the Diz, WDWinfo.com. It's just neat to kind of see a little bit of. Like, they were hard at work. Not that they haven't been, but they were really hard at work on it. Last week, there was so much, you know, construction noise going on and lights were on. There's blue accent lighting in the space. It was just neat to kind of see it on and going. So there's our sign. Ooh. So, that's the same. That's our World Bold font that everything is going to be in. But
all right, it's very Epcot-y.
Yeah. And Zach Ridley continued, he did say, he confirmed it will open this spring. So what do you think about a new eatery in Epcot?
We have no idea menu-wise, cafe.
Just cafe.
So that could be
eatery and cafe.
Sandwiches, stuff like that. Cute. Let's see what's there.
Definitely need something on that end because it really is just this like long walk to get up into the actual park still. Yeah. So it's one of those. I went yesterday and I was just kind of like, there's no question. This is my least favorite theme park right now. Could change, but it's just one of those things where I'm getting real tired of picking the one way or the other to go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'm looking at that Connections Cafe and just looking out at the empty skyline where I'm like, I think what's going to happen is it's just going to be pavement when it all opens. And it'll just be like, here we are.
We need some of that pavement to have fiber optic lights in it, though, for sure.
Well, I was just thinking, I was like, oh, what used to be up here? And I was like, oh, yeah, all that netting's gone where, like, the pin area was and everything. And it's just, it'll be weird when we finally see those walls come down. Hopefully by the 40th anniversary in October.
Hopefully.
That would be, that would be great.
I'd like to dream, but. Whatever.
Well, Denny, the foreman, says they're working very hard. So.
Yes, exactly.
She just went to watch them.
I just stood there watching them. All right, fellas, move.
Remember that episode of Friends where like they had the cousin that came and stayed with them for the wedding? It was like Denise Richards, and she'd flip her hair, and it was the That's what I imagine that Denny having when Denny saw the foreman at the.
Foreman are looking at Denny, too.
I just stood there going, well, I'm much too short. I wish that I'm Craig Williams tall when I'm up against a construction wall
way.
But alas, I am not. So I just kind of hold my phone up as high as I can and get whatever, you know, video or film I can. Never over the wall, you know, just back from it. But it was neat to see. Neat to see it with my own two eyes. Also in Epcot. The Epcot experience has closed. So a brief moment of silence.
I mean, it does make sense that that was a thing to preview what was coming. Yeah. And now most of the stuff is either canceled or coming or there. And yeah, it's got to go. But I wish they'd keep it for like other upcoming things because it was a cool space.
Yeah.
It could easily have been utilized as an overview of Epcot that was just a nice way to go in there. Yeah, you had a preview of what's to come, but, you know, the entire model was still on there. It showed the other buildings, like, have a little brief section on Mission Space, Test Track, yeah. Spaceship Earth.
A living
like
brochure.
Exactly.
That would have been great.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, you don't want a park map? Well, here's this visual park map that we have here that allows you to get some AC for a little bit and just enjoy it. But you know what? They said they're going to do something else in the space. Who knows what that means? Maybe it's just for private events like the Odyssey was used before, or more of using it for Epcot festivals until we figure out what's happening with a festival building of sorts. But it's one of those things. I feel like they could have kept it with some updates if they wanted to. But hey, it is what it is.
You know, I definitely agree. I was, Panda, I was telling you before we went on air today that I was in there on that day. So this got announced the afternoon, I think it was Thursday afternoon, and I was just in there sitting down to collect thoughts about which food items to review that day. And it was just a lovely, quiet,
how do you say
space?
It? Is it respite? Respite?
Yeah, respite.
That was it.
A respite.
Yeah, it was a good place to gather yourself.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that, number one, I'm hoping that we can always have access into the Odyssey. The I like being in the Odyssey Pavilion. Like, I want to be in there because it makes me think about, you know, about being a kid and, yep, and being in Epcot. So anything that is a through line to original Epcot is a good thing in my book. So,
sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but it made me think, as you kept saying original Epcot, this would have been the way to do, like, show Epcot through the years. Start with, they have B-roll of all these past attractions and stuff, things that used to be there. They could have found a way to be like, here's what Epcot was, and here's what it is now, and tied it in that way. Okay. Apologies.
That would have been so good. Okay, please, Imagineers, do something like that. Just let us go into the Odyssey and see something that reminds us of original Epcot. I think that would be great. Rhino, do you have thoughts about the Epcot experience?
I mean, I completely agree with Craig. I, if nothing else, at the end of the day, it was actually just somewhere that you could just hang out for a few minutes that was in the shade and air conditioned and maybe away from people. So I think they could have just left it, like put merchandise in there for whatever the current festival was, left open that area where you could get a snack and a couple of drinks, and then just like had tables and everything like that. Sometimes it doesn't need cutting edge Imagineering. Sometimes it just needs just a like you said, the respite.
Agree, 100%.
Yeah. That being said, if they want to do something that honors Epcot, they did a really great job with the original Epcot experience. Experience as we stepped in there. I don't know about you, but it always kind of had me catch my breath a little bit at how, because I do love that park. And so, you know, make me feel hopeful about it or remember how good it was. And
but lately you would see things and you're like, oh, is that even coming anymore?
No. Mary Poppins.
It's still coming one day, right?
I know. Think? Right. Don't hold your breath.
That's the only place you could hear. We want the funk.
Yes. That's my favorite.
I love that.
I mean, we didn't have it in the outline for the news stories today, but Chapek did say during the shareholders meeting that was one of the most intense and fun listens I've ever had to anything. He was finally asked about the attractions that weren't coming anymore and said that there was the budget hold. And so that's what's happening with Mary Poppins and then the Quinjet attraction for California Adventure. But you know, they didn't say it was completely gone, but most of the questions had absolutely nothing to do with anything but one specific topic, and it was wild to listen to.
I bet, for sure. Moving on, Victoria and Albert's, in case Victoria and Albert's is a favorite of yours, Victoria and Albert's will indeed reopen at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. We don't know too much of a timeline. It's being said online. I know that Carly Vizal said maybe later this year. So we love Carly, so we're hoping that is indeed the case. Jackie's got a story up now, and it's just great to kind of go, okay, so there's another restaurant that'll be reopening. I have never been there. I don't know that I shall be going there.
Yeah, God, Lord. Girl, when we win the lottery, we'll go.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
I was going to say, I'm wearing a $5 t-shirt that I got at Michael's, I think, or one of the craft stores, Joann's, I think, maybe.
Good for you.
So,
good for you.
We all know where it really came from.
Yeah. What's that?
We all know where it really came from.
No, it's Joann's. The Winter Garden Village Joann's Fabrics.
It's a good one. It was just in there last week.
Joann's.
It's a good one. So also up on Disney Parks blog was that the Aristocrapes kiosk, which this is sad to me because I loved Aristocrapes, but Aristocrapes has closed. It's now Swirls on the Water, and they are serving up some fun Dole Whip creations, from habanero lime to a little bit of everything else. So I'm intrigued because there's a cookie dough flavor.
I know. Why are we not doing this?
I know. So eventually I'll go over there. I know, right? Okay. I have heard the bubble waffles have moved over though to Marketplace Snacks, so that they're still available somewhere. So that's a good thing. And also Red Rose Tavern out at Disneyland has resumed breakfast.
Yeah, I see they got a breakfast burger up in there.
What?
Yeah, I saw an article about it and I was just like, oh, because now I'm trying to map out food for my next journey. So I'm like, just looking at it. It's got an egg and arugula and an orange marmalade.
If it's got an egg on it, it's clearly breakfast.
I
know. So
I think you lost me at the orange marmalade, though. Yeah, that's a stretch.
The part I was like, I don't. What are we doing
it's
here?
Not, it's not out of the world.
Is it in an English muffin? Then we'll talk.
I mean,
so I will be completely honest with this. I don't think I ever once actually got anything from Aristocrapes.
Oh, no.
Because maybe Rhino and I did one review. No, from
From Disney Springs?
Yeah.
Were you by yourself? I went with you once and we had intention, but I think there was a lightning storm.
Every single time I went, it was either there was a storm that they couldn't have it open because it's like right on the water, or it was, they didn't open till 4 o'clock.
We did get something once.
Did we?
Once, yeah. I remember we were there, it opened right at 4, and I remember being there and being like, well, this was not disappointing, but it was like, I don't know. It would have had to be like way, way back, like when it first.
I don't know. I think you went by yourself.
I might be
I don't think
it up
I
too.
Ever I don't even know. Yeah. I always had intentions on going there, but it just every single time I tried. But I mean, I guess I could just do an easy search on our YouTube channel and see if we ever did something, and then that would explain it. But I can't remember yesterday. So I don't. Maybe I did, but I don't think I ever did.
I tell you, their salted caramel chocolate bubble waffle sundae, amazing. So, so good and huge. I ate it all myself, and enjoyed every moment.
How?
But I didn't. Oh, there are repercussions. I just keep on trucking because it's so good. It's so good. But I tell you what, I didn't eat like for a long time afterwards. It was delicious. Absolutely delicious. And I'm kicking myself because they had a cherry Jubilee's bubble waffle sundae. Cherry's Jubilee. That's it. Bubble waffle sundae. Yeah. Mm-hmm, for New Year's. And I passed by it one evening when I was there with my husband. So I'm sorry. Cherry's Jubilee bubble waffle. I'm sorry. But it was really good. Just the one that I had was really, really good. So moving on, we've got Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic coming back this year. The dates are going to be November 11th and 12th. It is going to be, $165 per evening. So the event runs two evenings. It's from 5:30 to 9:30. So $165. And that, my understanding is that gives you carte blanche to whatever they have. It's on the causeway in between the Swan and Dolphin. I have never been, but I've always heard great things.
Same.
Yes?
Heard people rave about it. I just never get the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
It all depends on if you drink or not, really, in terms of the pricing. If you are a drinker, you will love this event. Okay. I mean, you get overserved for sure. That's the entire point of it almost. It is a dangerous event. Yeah. The food, you will never be more sick in your life because it literally, like, you can just keep going up and getting little bites of steak from Shola's over and over and over and over again.
Without a disguise? And no disguise?
Nope. It's just, and that's, and the worst part about it is you usually overeat at like one booth and then you like make your way to another one. It's like, oh shoot, I wish I had the room for that. If you don't drink, I'm not saying there's not a lot of inherent value in it. You still get to try a lot of interesting food, mm-hmm. and you know, they'll give you water if you ask for it, but it's really to get a good bang for your buck, then you kind of have to be a drinker with it. You're not going to eat that much money with mm-hmm. it. And I don't really ever get soda anywhere. And I know this was one of Pete's biggest complaints about this back in the day was that they wouldn't give him soda at the event. And that's all he wanted. So I know they'll give you a bottle of water because we were able to get bottles of water at the different booths that were set up if they had them. But it's a fun event. I will say that.
Okay. Well, tickets are on sale now. So if it sounds like fun to you, definitely go and check it out. foodandwineclassic.com, I believe. But you can, Jackie's got the link right in our story. Yes, foodandwineclassic.com. So definitely check that out. Oh, we have so many things. Do we need a breather? Let's just take a deep breath real quick. New experiences have been added to Genie Plus. Our dear friend, Genie Plus. Dear friend, not. So now Disney's Festival of Fantasy Parade has been added. And also seeing the Disney stars on Red Carpet Dreams at Red Carpet Dreams in Hollywood Studios has been added to Genie Plus. My understanding is that for the parade, you get a special viewing area. Is that something that you would use your Genie Plus for?
I would. Only because if I really wanted to see the parade and brought people that wanted to really see it, it takes the hour of waiting away. So you're gaining an hour if it's available. You know what I mean? Like, unless it's not too crowded, then you could just see it over people's heads.
I'll say this. Mm-hmm. On the day that Festival of Fantasy came back, there was still prime hub viewing about 30 minutes before the parade start. So I mean, granted, it was the first day back. People have to get in the spirit now, in the mode of knowing, yes, parade is back, and let's check the show times for it and such. But I only know, at least like from an hour before the parade start time, half of Main Street was completely empty. Most of Town Square was empty, and 30 minutes before, you could still get a spot in the hub. So again, that was on day one. We are now in the midst of spring break, so that information is not as helpful because spring break and other holidays, it all goes out the window. But it's, you know, if things ever slow down again, I've never thought using it as a way to secure a parade spot or anything like that was ever truly a valuable use out of it. But yeah, I guess when it was fast pass, you're also not paying for it, so why the heck not?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Just as a side note, Saturday I was in Disneyland and I wanted to do all the dark rides that we don't have here in Disney World. None of them, with the exception of It's a Small World, are on Genie Plus.
I noticed that when I went in January for the Lunar New Year stuff, and it was like complimentary in my ticket for the ticket they had given me. And I was like, well, this is kind of, because we had a list of some stuff we had wanted to do the ride through stuff. And I was like, well, this doesn't really help me at all. I mean, it's got, I feel like in Disneyland, it's got a fair amount of attractions, but at DCA, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of one of those where you're like, I guess it saves you some time, which is nice, but
My focus was those little,
And it's not
Mr. Toad,
it's
Pinocchio.
Not what you want them for. That's the problem. Yeah. Some, well, but not but all.
Those
not all.
Attractions, you can't have a fast pass at those attractions. They already get as backed up as they do with just a standby wait. So then add an extra line for
they add them. I'm just suggesting that the service is stupid.
I don't like that voice of reason that just spoke up and took away my want of Genie Plus.
I have not used it at Disneyland, so I cannot be a spokesperson on it. If it has the same issues that Walt Disney World does of limited availability and getting things, then that obviously isn't good. But I've always enjoyed what Disneyland had in terms of their fast pass choices and you know, now Genie Plus choices. I always thought theirs was actually a little bit more even than Walt Disney World, just going all aboard on everything.
I just wish the program itself wasn't so complicated, because essentially at the core of it, it is still MaxPass, which I enjoyed, but now you're just, yeah. So it's just one of those things where you're like, why do you have to make it so complicated?
Yeah.
Okay, Avril.
It's Disney.
God, it's so complicated. It's me, Avril Lavigne.
Oh, my gosh. Avril sounded eerily like Hannah Montana.
I got it from my friend.
So last of our news stories, and then we're going to talk about the return of Festival of Fantasy Parade, is that the Starlight Safari is coming to to Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. So for $89, guests 18 and up can ride an open-sided safari vehicle for an hour.
Is the one we already ride in not open-sided?
Well, this is at the lodge, so it says...
Okay, sorry.
Yes, for this tour, guests will climb aboard an open-sided safari vehicle and witness the wild as it comes to life on an after-dark safari tour. Feel the rush of the night as they rumble through the lush scenery, scanning the horizon for over 30 species of African wildlife on this popular nighttime expedition. And you are given night vision goggles during your safari.
How Jurassic Park. I wonder if that's the idea.
At night, the lodge seems pretty barren. They better be adding some animals out there.
There are a couple new animals in the savannah, maybe.
But is there there's a path for a car in the...
Mm-hmm. They used to do special tours and safaris, like the Sunrise Safari and things like that. So, yeah.
I'll go.
They've got them. They have the capability. They can do it. So it is bookable now. It will start on April 22nd, which is also Earth Day. So, yeah, I think it's kind of cool that we've got some tours coming back. It's not something, again, that is going to be on my list necessarily. Maybe someday if I, I don't know, maybe someday. But for me, it's nice that things are coming. Yep. You guys ever do any of the tours, Animal Kingdom Lodge?
No. I'm saving all my money to go to Africa one day and do them the real way.
Oh, Lord. My friend Genevieve actually did just go to Africa in the last year or two. She goes to all these crazy places. And she was like, yeah, we're just sleeping. And they're like, you know, be careful, lions. What? yeah, it was crazy. She told me about it. I mean, it sounded amazing, but it also sounds too scary for me.
Yeah,
I don't like camping in rural Massachusetts, so I can't imagine I'd like camping where the animal can actually eat me. I just don't like skunks, so I don't want to get sprayed by a skunk.
Just love the warning: beware of lions. It's like falling rocks in Hawaii. What am I gonna do?
Yeah. Just die.
Exactly. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. Heads up.
Just be prepared. Wear that clean underwear every day, like my mom always says.
It's true. So, of course, clean underwear.
Yeah. Look your best.
That's what she always said. She said, you don't want them to find the body.
Sure.
And I'm like, well, it's going to happen either way, I think, Mom.
Yeah. Be prepared.
Maybe it's full release. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like a punch in the armpit. Anyway, sorry.
It's good. You know, wildlife, safari, you know, survival tips here on the Diz Unplugged. I mean, whatever. We cover the gambit. So, of course, the Festival of Fantasy Parade returned to the Magic Kingdom this past Wednesday. We were there for the 11:30 because the 2:30. Oh, yes. Please.
Rhino,
if you could describe the footage.
I'll describe it like my niece does. She always goes, it's Belle in her dress. Because my niece talks like a Muppet, like sort of. Like when she gets really excited, I'm a plate. She got cast as a plate in the show one day.
Did she? That's fantastic. Who are we seeing now, Rhino?
Cinderella. Cinderella.
I love this. What people don't really know, because
a dress.
Denny is using Rhino talking as a distraction so she can drink some water she's been talking nonstop basically for an hour. So, hey, maybe back to the important details, Denny.
Yes.
I think you were on 11:30.
We are watching.
This Elsa is very energetic.
This is the first main float for the original float for the Festival of Fantasy Fantasy Parade is what we're showing, what we're seeing right now. This is Craig stood in the hub for the first showing. Erica got amazing spots up at, by the train station, right where the Christmas tree normally is. So Erica and I were covering things from up there. And that first float, it was like we knew changes were coming, like you knew they were coming. But we... That first float, if you had any doubt, the first float solidified it from the word go. So where Beauty, where Belle is normally on that first float with Beast, it's just Belle. Where Cinderella is normally, it's, we just got a Cinderella. We just got, an Elsa instead of Elsa and Anna together. Yeah.
Well, before
suggesting the women aren't okay by themselves.
Okay. No, they're fine. But there was, you know, performers before that float happened as well, too, that were just cut in their fancier regalia. I mean, it's there. Our friend Chloe counted on one video. There was like originally 90 something performers and there was easily a third lost.
Yes.
If not more. I didn't bother counting how many were there that day. But it's as you if you're watching this. With us right now, you know, obviously you can tell how sparse it is in terms of performers. For those who are listening, you can always go to youtube.com/WDW info to see our video on it. And you will also notice the same thing. It is just very, very light on talent.
Those coral reef people.
Those ladies look like griddled cheese.
Oh my gosh. That's well, all right. This is definitely Festival of Fantasy Light. That being said, it was good. It felt really good to have it back in the park. So where Wendy and Peter Pan are normally up in the ship, it's only Peter Pan now. Wendy walks walks in front of the float with the Lost Boys. See, Captain Hook is still here. Tinkerbell's still on the back. But also the very end of the parade where it's usually Mickey and Minnie in that last float. Minnie is walking with Daisy in front of that last float. Only Mickey is
trying to fill up the float here. Sparseness.
Yeah. What they're doing, it's one person per space is what it is. And whether they are the furry kind of character or the face kind of character does not matter.
Yeah,
it is one.
I am just lost on this, I guess, this aspect of it. Cause I walk by Epcot and Daisy was out there, on the other side of her little fence doing her thing. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking to myself where like the fence is maybe a foot away from where people stand. And I'm like, I get it for a face character for sure. But a fur character, like, you have a barrier over your entire body. Like, mm-hmm. if I wanted to spit in your mouth, I can't. And trust me, I've tried. No, I haven't.
It, for me, I just didn't get.
It's weird that it seems like the fur characters are spaced out more than the face people. Cause I'm like, those face people are more exposed than the people in the suit. So I don't know anything about
logistics
or anything like that or anything. I'm not suggesting there shouldn't be safety stuff in place for all of that stuff, obviously, but it just seems like the rules are kind of weird.
I guess the question is, are normal guests analyzing this as much as us, or are they just like watching it and enjoying it? Because you know what? It was very nice having Festival of Fantasy back and seeing it. And I am not the biggest admirer of the parade. I think I've made that clear throughout the years. But I like as I was standing there watching, I'm like, wow, this actually I will miss cavalcades if they completely, you know, get rid of those one day. But it's nice having this combination of the parade and cavalcades. The parade's only 10 minutes, so now down from 13 or 14 minutes, I think. So cut a few minutes off, so makes it a little bit easier to not get as locked in as you could before. But it's very confusing as us doing what we do, being like, okay, so Indiana Jones, you know, Marion and Indy can run hand in hand alongside and everyone, you can get that close punching people, but then on a parade, it's like, okay, one performer per little pedestal. It's like, so is this COVID protocol stuff? Is this stuff built into their contracts that we don't know about? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, it's confusing.
People are suggesting there are fans in the suit and I hate to break it to you. I don't think many of these suits, if any of them, have fans inside of them. Like, not in my experience in the seeing them. Having been backstage and having seen them, I don't believe there are many. Unless times have changed. Hopefully they have. But I don't think so. If anything, they'd be wearing a cold suit inside of it, not a fan. Mm-hmm. So, like they did at Lightsmarter's Action and stuff. But, I didn't have time to insert my joke. I wonder if any of the regular guests are thinking about it as much as us. And I said, judging by the way they drive on I-4, they're not thinking about anything.
I know staffing always gets brought up into it too, but let's also be clear on this. If it's staffing, it's not because there's a lack of performers in Orlando that we don't have to throw in parades and work. There are plenty out there. There are still a lot of people who would like to, because, you know, performers are paid more than just the average cast member. There are a lot of people who would love to perform and have Disney on a resume and be back in a job. So if it's staffing, it's that Disney isn't, you know, I would assume it's that Disney's not trying to bring people back, because there are still a lot of people here who would go and work as a performer in Disney.
No, I got the feeling that this is the parade right now. Yeah. Like, this was very intentionally crafted to be this.
I agree.
This experience. And I, you know, being what it was, I enjoyed it more than the really pared down Christmas parade version of the Christmas parade that we had. And I tell you what, standing there at the top of Main Street when the music started, tears in the eyes. I know Erica had tears. She's a former theme park performer, so this hits every heartstring for her. And just to have it back again, it was a little bit of things being made right again.
Yeah, the soldier part of the Christmas parade was painfully, you know, sparse, and you're like, ah.
Yep. And now Craig Maleficent breathed fire near you. She did not near us.
After. And I don't know if that was because of weather. But Maleficent opened up her mouth like three times moving around the hub. And then, of course, once it was just past me, then it finally opened up again and blew fire. But, I mean, I had the same bad luck when she was rolling through the streets and the after hours party that, you know, it was the first one. She didn't blow fire the entire time. I wish this parade unit was a little bit more reliable, but you know what? It also caught on fire one time.
To me, the
Maleficent Dragon was like the big draw when this parade debuted. But since then, I think the MVPs of this parade are honestly the Lost Boys in the Peter Pan unit. Yes. Like, that one is just, they are so high energy, and they were the true turning point for me, where it's like, I actually did miss this part of parades that you didn't quite get with cavalcades.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Very good. If Merida is your favorite, her float is missing from Festival of Fantasy. So not sure if it was what the reasoning was, but her big bagpipe float was not there.
And the response that kept getting pushed my way, which I understand it too, is that Merida's a part of the Adventure Friends Cavalcade, which I get, but she also has her own float that if it still works, put her on the float with, clearly, as we saw in the video of it, you only need to add three more performers around the area. So it's not like you're adding a lot of people. And then just put any other character in the Adventure Friends cavalcade.
Pick one.
You literally have to pick one. All you have to choose is one.
Easy.
It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that is it for our big list of all the Walt Disney World news. We got through it all. What are you laughing about? More news, Craig.
Our good friend Tiggeret just wrote what I feel like is the comment of the day there, that I guess they did change her fate. The classic.
Oh, God.
Merida. Change your fate.
If you had the chance to change your fate,
would you?
As always, Tiggeret knows exactly what to say. That's perfect. Love you, Tiggeret.
If you could end the show, would you?
Would you? Yes. Does anyone have anything that they would like to say before we wrap up this show?
Very quickly. Is it true? I don't know if it was real news. Tumble Monkeys are returning to the Festival of the Lion King?
I have heard that is the word on the street. That's a good sign that they're not just saying, fine with it.
Let it go.
Yeah.
No, it's
we need our Tumble Monkeys.
Yeah. So now, you know, it's as if it isn't harder to keep track, you know, people following unofficial Disney fan sites on social media and then Disney Parks blog, everything. You know, TikTok is becoming the place for Disney Parks to release exclusive information that then doesn't necessarily get shared in other places on Disney's official outlets. Mm-mm. And so, yeah, they had on their TikTok, they had a video of these hands walking over to like the chalk and Festival of the Lion King with saying, you know, Tumble Monkeys coming in summer. So,
yeah,
that gives me hope that Festival of Fantasy will get back up to speed eventually.
Just a little bit at a time.
I hope.
We'll take it. We'll take anything we can get.
Right. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if it could ya?
As always, we are going to do our Patreon show after this show, and we would absolutely love for you to tune in. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, you can go to patreon.com/DizUnplugged for all the details. If you have enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing to the channel and hitting a like and leave a comment if you've got a comment on it. And before we say goodbye today, I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment and just say, you know, today, 2 years ago today, was the last full day that Walt Disney World was open before shutting down for what we thought was going to be 2 weeks. And I have heard, I'm going to try not to cry, but I've heard from people, there have been so many times where people have looked at us and said, thank you so much for what you did during the pandemic, all the shows, and that it helped. And it's a two-way street. And you listening and you watching gave us life and gave us encouragement and gave us energy when everything was so very uncertain. And while we are not fully out of the woods yet, please know that you gave to us as much as we gave to you. And we thank you so much for your support. If you've had the opportunity to use Dreams Unlimited Travel for your trips, thank you. Even if you haven't, just by tuning in, you are such a blessing. So we literally wouldn't be here without you. So thank you very much. Thank you so much, Panda and Rhino and Craig, for being in this room and a part of the conversation. And thank you for tuning in. Take good care, everyone. Bye.